Morning. You guys thought you were done with Shema today. No, I'm still coming. I'm just getting warmed up. Well, I am so honored and glad to be here today. It's such an honor for me and a privilege to be speaking before God's people today. That's why I had to dress up this morning, because I'm ready to serve you guys. To those who don't know me, my name is Shema, 10 more times, I'm guessing. I just graduated college, I'm studying seminary. It's no bueno, it's not fun. But it's such an honor to be doing what God has called me to do. I'm the new next-gen pastor. I love my youth group and the kids. They are the best I've ever got to serve. Yeah, we have so many things planned. Parents, get ready to say yes to a lot of things and to a few no's. We've been going through a series of Fruitful Life, and I am really loving them. I wasn't here last Sunday, but I got to watch on video what Mark preached about. Before that, with Pastor Michael, he spoke about Bible study, which was pretty good. I enjoyed it. And then Mark talked about prayer life. And I remember when I was watching the video, he said something like, if you're a strong prayer warrior, please raise up your hand. And I was hoping somebody would raise up their hand so I can be friends with that person and learn how to pray more, you know. But I don't know, maybe somebody did. I didn't see it. Yeah. But the next phase of the series we'll be talking about will be relationships. A lot of us want to read our Bible more. We want to pray more. We want to be better Christians, and we want to have a strong walk with God. But the truth is, you cannot do that on your own. You need people, and people need you. Before I go on, when I was over there, I was reminded of how this church really supported me when I came here probably 2 months ago, maybe. Man, God brought people around me that were really there for me. People, I don't know, like, I had never met these people until like June or May, maybe. But they became family. And I was reminded of how much we are a family in the body of Christ. Strangers from all over the world just made family under the same blood, the blood of Christ Jesus. And I am really grateful and so honored and really happy about what God has been doing in my life through the brothers and sisters of this church. May the Lord bless you. During the time of May and June, I was going really through some challenges. You know, I always try to smile and laugh, but deep inside me, things were not going really easy. And it felt like God had brought an errand and a heart to hold my hand. I don't know if you guys know the story of Moses. When Moses went to war with Amalek, the Lord told Moses, I want you to pray and raise up your hands. And every time Moses did raise up his hands, the Israelites did prevail. They were winning the battle. But every time Moses laid down his hands, they lost the war. So Aaron brought a stone and put it there for him to sit on. And Aaron and Hur, they all held on to his hand. That story is about prayer, but we often forget about two simple details: Aaron, Hur, and the sun going down. They stood with Moses until the war was done. Now, those are good friends I need in my life. Those are the kind of relationships I want to be a part of. I want somebody who is going to hold my hands up and be able to pray like God wants me to, so that I can prevail and have the victories God wants me to have. I'm not talking about this false prosperity gospel people be preaching nowadays. No. I'm talking about the true success in Christ, a faithful walk with Jesus Christ. We need that. And I was reminded of that this year. When I moved here 6 years ago, I just came as a student. Truth be told, I didn't even want to come to this country. I was really happy home. I come from a big family. I was getting ready to take over, like work with my dad in his business and do ministry back in Rwanda. But the Lord called me to come here. And things didn't go as I thought they were. I thought everybody here lives in some type of honeymoon 365 days a year. You know, but that didn't go as planned. But the Lord brought me an errand and a heart to hold my hands up and pray. Or sometimes, I love construction. I don't know how many of you guys love construction here. I love renovating houses. My friend bought a house about 2 years ago. It was like really exciting news, but the project wasn't really fun. He decided to do some of the work by himself, and I was like, bro, you need some help, man. Like, I am really happy to help. Like, you ain't got to pay me anything, because you've been there for me. Let me also be there for you. And that really made him happy, and the whole project that was really tough became fun. And what am I trying to get here today is this. When I was growing up, my mom always told me, Shema, show me the people you surround yourself with, and I will show you the kind of person you are. Show me your friends, and I will tell you who you are. And that really didn't make sense to me. But the more I grew up, I began to realize, oh my, my character, my walk with God is highly affected by the relationships I have with, or the people I'm friends with in my life, the people I fellowship with. And then my dad told me, Shema, nobody's an island in this world. You will always need people, and people will always need you. Two different things, but they all come to relationships. We need one another as the church of Christ, the body of Christ. My weaknesses is somebody else's strength, and somebody's strength is my weaknesses. We need to hold hands and lift each other up, and that's the only way we can have a faithful walk with Christ in our devotions, in being better parents, in being better spouses, in our work life, in our social life. It does affect us, the people we fellowship with. I want to ask you guys a question today. You don't have to answer this, but think about it. What areas in your life that you know that you need help, that you need people, but you choose to fight for yourself often, that you choose to walk this journey on your own? And the way the devil works is, he will always give you reasons to justify your wrongdoings. I have come to learn that the enemy of good progress, or the enemy of getting better, is not always bad. It's sometimes good. You become comfortable in your situation. You start replacing those good things that could have made you better with other good things that will make you comfortable and don't make you progress in a way. When I was working on this sermon, I was thinking, what are some of the obstacles that we face today that hinder our relationship with God? One of them was church hurt. We've been hurt by the church in so many ways, I myself included. I've been hurt by the church. My fellow brothers in Christ in church, some of them have hurt me. Man, I forgive those people, and I really love them. And for a long time, I was like, I don't want to go to this church. I don't know what to do. Maybe you're sitting here today, and you've been hurt by the church, and that's a reason for you to just come on Sunday and then leave and be like, I don't want to be a part of it. I'm just going to attend and come back Sunday, you know? Like, you're using that reason to justify or why not to come to church? That's definitely a really bad reason, but one of the reasons that people use to justify not to be a part of the church is the pursuit of world materials, or maybe, I'm trying to find the best way to put this. The desire to provide for family, it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong, it's really awesome. But when you start replacing that with your relationships you're supposed to have in the church, then it's no longer good. Because you start losing focus on what could really, really benefit your family. The best inheritance you can ever give to your kids is not how much money you leave with them, is how much wisdom you leave with them when you leave this planet. And you can't find the wisdom if you don't fellowship with God's people to encourage you, to equip you, to push you to get closer to God. And often, it's our marriages. I put it up there as unhealthy relationships, but I'm not talking about fighting or violence. Yeah, that's also really bad, but you ever seen, I think maybe it's common in my generation, I see that they spend almost every free time with their loved ones, like with their spouses. I mean, like, that's amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. But if you choose to replace church with your spouse, then there's something going on that's not healthy. A friend of mine started stopping going to church, and I was like, why don't you come to church with us anymore? My fiance moved, and I don't want to go to church without him. And I was like, oh, wow. So you tell me that you only go to church because your fiance is no longer living in Chicago? I'll be praying for your future marriage. I mean, I was kind of joking, but I was also really hurt by that. To feel that you can only depend on this one person instead of being part of the church and being invested in by the church or by the saints to help you be the best spouse you can be. You want to love your wife better, love your husband better? Be part of the church. Be involved in the church. When I look around this room, I see a lot of wisdom in this church. Gray hair. Where I come from, gray hair means wisdom. You want to learn how to be the best person? Talk to the wise people. Often, it's the search for finding the best church. I want to find the best church, you know. This is like really popular also in my generation. The church that is kind of like embraces my weaknesses, embraces my strength, the church that I stand out. You're trying to find this perfect fantasy church in your mind. And you're making everything about me, the sense of individuality and independence that has blinded the desire to learn and to be corrected and to be rebuked. You're trying to find the best church. And the funny thing is, even if you find the best church that you're looking for, guess what? It will no longer be the perfect church you're looking for because you're not part of it. You see, what you're thinking was perfect is no longer perfect because you're also imperfect. So it wasn't perfect anyway. But we need to be a part of the church that really calls us out when it's necessary. And this is mostly for the young people in this room. We desire to be good Christians. We desire to have a strong relationship with God. But the idea of jumping from one church to another will not solve that. What can only help you is finding a church that has genuine Christians that who have a better understanding of, as an individual, I'm weak, but together we are strong. That's the kind of church we need to be looking for. And what makes me really sad is that these whole ideas drive, or maybe are affecting our church relationships, and they are driving our desires to find churches. Just because you desire to be a good Christian, to have a faithful walk with Jesus, to live in a healthy community, those are good desires. But if you're being driven by, it's all about me, 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 all those desires will just end up becoming a dream. They will just end up not even, I don't know even how to say it. It's all just messed up, that let me just put it that way. You can only walk this Christian journey, you can only walk this relationship with Christ if you are only rooted in the church. And that being said, why do we need the church? One is, it's God's command. We need the church. We need to be a part of the church because it's God's command. I love John 1:1, verse 2. It should be coming up anytime from now. But it does say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. I love God, and one of the reasons is that, yes, He is God, He's a leader, but He leads by example. God Himself, He is involved in a relationship with the Trinity there in heaven. And throughout the scriptures, we see that God is commanding His people to be a part of a relationship, and He Himself is in a relationship. If God is in a relationship, who do we think we are not to be wanting to be part of one? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're having a relationship being formed there. And another reason to why we need to be a part of the church is we need help from each other in challenging times. Life can be really hard, man. Life can be really, really challenging. A few years ago, I went through a really challenging season. I started struggling with depression. This was like whole new to me. And I love my family. They are really great, but I kind of grew up like in a military setting, if that makes sense. And I didn't know who to turn to. It's hard for me to trust people. But I remember going to this one church and never met this guy. It was like I was still new to the US, and went to this one church. It's called Centerpoint, and I got off an Uber, and this guy walked towards me smiling. If you don't know me, I'm a hugger. I love hugs. I love smiles. And he was like, "Hey." I was like, "Hey." But that guy invited me over for coffee. He didn't know what I was going through. But the fact that he smiled for me and embraced me, I started opening up my heart to him day by day. And he stood with me in my challenging times. I love Ecclesiastes 4:12. It says this, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord cannot be quickly broken." One man can prevail. I'm sorry, I sometimes get emotional when I'm preaching. I'm trying to keep it together and just keep strong. As an individual, we can easily be defeated. Often, in my walk with Christ, and I'm being vulnerable to you guys, often I have failed to read my Bible. And often I have failed to pray like I'm ought to pray. But being surrounded by the people that I'm vulnerable with, they push me to be the person God wants me to be. They stand with me. As an individual, I lose my battles. Often I have fought for myself. I have tried to fight for myself, and I keep on losing. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We often forget that. And sometimes the spiritual realms we're wrestling with, they're not just in our minds, they can be working through other people. It could be a buddy at work, it could be, I don't know, name it. But every time you fight on your own, you will easily be broken. You will easily lose. Just take one branch, you can easily break it. But take 10 branches and put them together, try to break it, you can't. And that's the charge. Just because you meet on Sunday, it's not enough. You need people to walk with you on a daily basis. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. And that's really hard. But even Jesus needed a Simon to help him carry his cross. Man, if our Messiah, our Savior, needed help when he was in the flesh, how much more do you guys and me need help? We often think about that. The body of Christ. When I became a Christian, one of the verses that really, this just came to me. Paul says something, I think it's in Ephesians, he said, yeah, help everybody, help your, like your biological family, like help people, but help more the body of Christ. We live in a time frame that comes to an end. It's a time to be born and time to die. But the body of Christ will last all eternity. These are the people you will spend your eternity in heaven with. Truth is, this is your number one family. People don't really say that, but that's the truth. Yeah, and being the church, it can involve your kids. Yeah, like I'm not trying to compare your biological family that is not saved. No. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that those in Christ, those in Jesus Christ, is your number one family. If the church today stood as one body of Christ and pray for one another and lift up each other and encourage one another, nations would be in a better place than we think about. If you were involved in a men's Bible study, in a woman's Bible study, in a youth ministry, in a kids ministry, and you pray for one another, you encourage one another, you call out each other in love, we would be the best group of people on planet Earth. But we often forget that. We often forget that. If you desire to walk with Christ faithfully in your Bible study, in your prayer life, but you ignore the church, yeah, have fun doing that. You won't. A three chord. Three. The church is made up of weak people, weak saints. That sin, the most righteous person sins 7 times a day. I am weak. But when I join hands with Michael, Seth, Pastor Stewart, everybody, guess what? We all become strong together. And nothing can break us. That is the word of God. That's the word of God. Oh. The devil will never stop fighting the church. But the stronger, the more we come together and join hands and lock hands, the devil will never prevail. He will never succeed. He will never. There's no such thing as a perfect church. There will never be such thing as a perfect church in this broken world, but there will always be this thing of a three chord can never easily be broken. It can never be broken. I love the, I did talk about Exodus 17, 11 to 13, but I really want to read it to you guys. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. Whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. While Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on another side, his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. I want to stop from here for now. And I want you guys to soak in this as I am for now. We often get weary in life. We often get really tired, even from praying. I do. I've been praying for my family since I became a believer in 2015. And I ain't gonna lie, I just became tired. In fact, my commitment was, and they'll probably watch this and I don't care, I love you guys. My commitment was to pray for my family every time I go to bed and every time I wake up. And things just didn't get any worse. I mean, any better. It just got worse every year. I reached to a point where I was like, okay, God, you know what I'm praying for. Have a good night. And I went to bed. But man, if you don't surround yourself with an Aaron, to hold your hands up and make them steady again, then you would just be weary and give up. Then you would just like lose the battle. But the church is supposed to be like an Aaron and hold your hands until sundown, until the battle is won. Is that me? Am I supposed to be concluding? Okay. I ain't gonna lie, I was about to say, have a wonderful week. Anywho, I love where the verse says that they held his hands up and they were steady until the going down of the sun. I need me people who will walk with me and make me feel steady in my walk with Christ until the sun goes down. The truth is, some hardships we go through, they will only end when we close our eyes and go to be with Jesus. Some of them, yeah, will come and go. But some of them will just be our cross to carry until we leave this planet. But blessed are those that have an Aaron and a heart in their life. I need me some of those people. I already have some, and I could use some more. And you could use some more in this church. You want to have a fruitful life? You want to have a steady life in the midst of challenges? You better be grounded and rooted in God's church. You better be involved in the church. It's not an option, it's a command. It's an instruction. You do this, you get this. You don't do this, you get this. It's up to you. You talk about free will? There you go. You have your free will. Do this, you'll be blessed. Do this, you'll be cursed. God doesn't force his people. He does command us. You disobey, you see the consequences. I'm not saying that you're going to miss heaven. No. But you probably have a miserable life if you're not part of the church. You probably still be lonely when you're surrounded with people. And that's really sad. I love... Let's keep going. I don't want to lose track of time. We are part of the church to serve one another. Look at Romans. For as in one body, we have many members, and the many members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one in Christ and individually members one of another. Man, we all have our weaknesses, we all have our strengths, we all have different callings. We are all different people. And that's why we need one another. To serve one another in unity. And serving is not easy. It's not easy. I'm reminded of what Jesus said. You want to be great? Be the least. Serve. Serve people. In unity. We are called to serve people with our different gifts and talents that the Lord has given us. You want to be a better Christian, a better spouse, a better son, a better daughter? Be served. Accept to be served. I know the society in the Western culture, it's not about me, it's individuality. I can do it on my own. And that's really sad. That's not how the church works. You need to be served. I want to be served. I'm not thinking about you taking me to Comet. Oh, I'll take free ice cream if you're offering. But I'm saying I need to be corrected. I need to be taught. I need to be reminded. That's what service is. I need somebody to teach me. I want to teach somebody. I am so happy when I teach my youth. It's all meaningless if I'm getting wisdom from the older people and don't pass it to the young generation. It's all meaningless. But the more I am being served by the elders, I want to serve the little ones, like my young brothers and sisters in Christ. The more I'm corrected and reminded, I want to correct and remind other people. That's what the church is all about too. I love Proverbs 19:20. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. That's gold. That is treasure. You better take that. I want to listen to advice. When I was at Moody last week, my friend came to me. It was her and her boyfriend and me. It was just the four of us talking. And then she said, she's an RA at Moody. She said, you know, this girl made a cake and she brought it to me. And she was like, please try it. I'm so excited. Try it. And I tasted the cake, but then I lied to her. I said, oh, my, it's so good. Great job. And then I was like, oh, my, you are not a good friend. What if she makes that for the boyfriend? What if that happens? Like, come on. She's like, you know, I felt so bad. I don't want to, like, tell her it wasn't good because she really put any effort to it. I was like, no, you could be a better friend by saying you put in the effort, but let me teach you how to make it better. If my friends is all about like, oh, great job, Shema, good job, Shema, I'd be like, ah, no, you're lying, man. I need a friend that corrects me, that rebukes me, that teaches me, that encourages me. All of love, that is the only way you can be shaped and become wise in life. No matter how many degrees that follow your name, titles that follow your name, if you no longer take advice from people, or no matter how grown up you are and you no longer take advice from people, or then you ought to check yourself. Because you can never become too wise. There's always something you can learn. There's always something you can learn from people. I love, you see, I want to encourage you guys today to be a part of my church. I was going to say our church, but now it's also my church. I love this church. No one is an island. We all need each other. I need you. You need me. The church needs you. No man is an island. We need each other. I love Corinthians. It says, there's one body. It has many parts, but all its parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We are all baptized by one Holy Spirit, and so we are formed into one body. It doesn't matter whether we are Jews, Gentiles, slaves, or free. We are all given the same Spirit. So the body is not made up of just one part, but it has many. We are different people, different gifts. We are all to serve one another. That's how we can be strong. The hands need the legs to be able to serve other people. The eyes need the hands to be able to serve other people. We need one another. Our church has all these ministries. The KLB, the kids, name them, cruise nights. I was actually at cruise nights. I was like, oh my, I need me some classy car. Maybe I can share the gospel with this person and become friends with him and he can teach me how to make cars. But iron sharpens iron. So does a person sharpen another. And through this, you can be sharpened. You can be taught. You can learn. We need to be mentored and kept accountable. We need that. Listen to advice. Proverbs 19:20. I love that Proverbs right there. That's why I put up twice. Maybe we'll stick with you twice. But you need yourself an accountability partner in this church and in your walk with Christ. A best friend, a peer best friend who will walk with you in this journey and keep you accountable, encourage you, and call you out when necessary. You need that friend. You need that person. It's not easy. You need to be mentored. Look around this room. If you're a teenager, a young person like me, you see that older guy, Mr. Stewart? He's one of the wisest guys I ever met. I'm not trying to, you know, make him feel proud about it. I say this with a humble heart. He has gold in his mind, and I need that. His son talks about him so highly, and I got to chat with him, and I was like, I think I just found me a gold mine. But we need to be discipled. Discipleship will help you to grow into the person that Christ wants you to become. And you need that. Discipleship is really important. I love Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. you be strengthened from what you have learned. How can you be strengthened if you don't learn from people? How? How can you have a strong relationship if you don't have a strong discipleship relationship with people? Godly people, in what you have heard from me in the presence of, that is Paul talking to Timothy. You want to be a strong believer, a prayerful warrior? You want to read your Bible more? You want to be a better future dad? Or you better be having some discipleship going on in your life. Then you can be strengthened and you can remember and you can have a strong relationship with Christ. We talk about reaching people. Talk about the Great Commission. One of the reasons I came to this church was that they have a heart for missions. And I do have a heart for missions. I love Matthew 28:18-20 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you to the very end of the age.'" I tell you what, being a part of the church, I'm talking about having church relationships, is one of the major ways that increases the urgency of the Great Commission. You will never understand the meaning of these verses here if you're not involved in the church. It's never going to hit the same. Because the more wisdom you get from the church, the more you see how people are blinded and lost and they need Jesus. The more you have people lift you up in your lonely, challenging days, the more you want to lift people up. The more you fellowship with God's body and people, the more you want to invite more people to come in. The Great Commission can never make sense if you don't have a strong relationship with the church. I believe that. It cannot make any meaning. Need relationships. And then, I love the last part. I am with you unto the end of the age. It's not about feelings. It's not about emotions. It's not about how the day is. It's about what God has said. I am with you. I am with you to the end of the age. And God is with us through his people too. We often forget that. He surrounds us with people to remind us about that last few sentences. We need to be a part of the church. And this cannot make sense if you're not already in the body of Christ. If you're sitting here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to accept Jesus Christ in your life. As I'm concluding, you see that little tree over there? Our lives are often like that tree. We have friends that come and go every season. They're just like leaves. Winter comes, they go. Summer comes, they stay. And then we have friends that are like branches. They come for and stay for a long time, and the season comes, they break off. And those really hurt, man. Losing a best friend is tough. But blessed is a person who is like a tree that is planted near the streams of waters, and its roots are rooted in the living water. You need Jesus as your roots in your life for everything to make sense. You need to have that best friend in your life. You need that relationship. And for those roots to be rooted more in him, you need to be a part of the church. As I'm closing, I want to invite the worship team up. And I want us to bow our eyes in prayer. Dear God, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you, God, for what you've done on the cross, Lord, for us. Thank you, God, for the churches, Lord, for the relationships we have, Father. I pray, God, that you help us to be more involved in the church and be a part of the church, God, to serve people and to be served, Father. Give us your wisdom. Give us your knowledge, God. Give us the strength, God, Father. And Lord, thank you for all that you have done and for this day. Bless us, God. Let your face shine upon us, God. Hold us, Lord, with your righteous right hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.